Well, in the first half, I'll share some thoughts and clips from Michelle Obama's audiobook. That's always a treat. Tales from the Cheap is back, and we'll do all that right after this.
We're inside the toolbox and creeping up on Thanksgiving. It's a time of tradition, so don't mess with the mac and cheese. Even a Detroit Lions loss is a tradition itself, and you gotta respect that. Last year, we tried to smoke the turkey. Didn't turn out so well, so this year, we're sticking with weed. Double ZTOP on the toolbox.
You did not love me like you did, but you did, but you did.
Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the host of Hot Ones, Sean Evans, with Gina Grad on news. And now, just like DJ Khaled, if he stops, it doesn't mean he gives up. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
All right, Paul Bryan, I spoke to yesterday. He's doing better, but he's still in the hospital. But things are pointing in the right direction.
I heard you had some hot hospital food talk.
Yeah, he was telling me about the secret menu.
Like In-N-Out?
Yeah, like In-N-Out, where if you want something other than the institutional slop they're serving up, if you ask, they'll go, oh yeah, we got a better menu.
And that, but that, there's an upcharge for that, right?
Yeah.
I heard that from somebody else.
But it's not, for sure there's an upcharge, but it's not that much considering you're in a hospital. Because you think, hospital would be, $780 for the hummus platter.
Right.
But this is like $25.
All right.
So he's able to step up his game over there.
Good. Yeah. Christy said every day he's a little saltier, which means he's feeling a little better.
All right. So I was reading an article on Michelle Obama and her hair. I don't know if Dawson has that one, but people have been tweeting me this article about Michelle Obama because she's got the new book out, The Light We Carry.
Right.
And the last book, Becoming, sold over 14 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
Made $36 million. Her and Barack got a $65 million joint advance for their memoirs. For both of them.
They'll be okay.
I don't know what she got for this one. Was this the one?
Unclear. Yeah. So we don't know if this is part of that deal or not. It's not out. Yeah.
It's millions and millions. Like, you know, when you write a book, if you sell 100,000 units, you're doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. If you sell 500,000 units, you're really doing well.
Platinum.
14 million. So a lot of people are interested in this, but I'm curious, and I've been curious, and I've been saying it for a long time, the sort of pablum era we're living in. Mm-hmm. You know, I was saying, well, we'll play you a couple of audio clips from the book so we can all have our lives enhanced. These are audio book.
The practice I've had in finding and appreciating the light inside other people has become perhaps my most valuable tool for overcoming uncertainty and, most important, for keeping my hopefulness intact.
Is she high?
I don't know, but
I've said similar things.
I was talking to Chris, said it sounds like an AI algorithm where you put in hope, you put in change, you put in marginalized, you put impacted communities, and then you put seat at the table, and then it just spits out a combination of all that.
And people love it.
Right. So I don't know why this sort of non-advice, pablum kind of circle talk is attractive, but it's working because more and more people, politicians and celebrities are doing the circle talk.
But that's the thing. We used to lampoon politicians for doing this, and now we celebrate it.
Yes, and it's a sort of a thing where we go, well, Rick Caruso, that guy's a billionaire developer. But Karen Bass, she's inclusive.
Right.
She's going to be a mayor that embraces Los Angelinos. And it's like, we want to clean up garbage, crime, and homeless encampments. We're not looking for hugs.
Yeah, not philosophically.
Right, but we're in kind of the hugs and good vibes era, which is not the policy era. And the question is how does one get there? Because whether it's, you know, Subaru talking about good vibes and making
puppy kissing booth
military attack helicopters for the Japanese government, or Michelle Obama selling 2 billion units of a book, or politicians talking about good vibes versus policy, something's got to be going on. On a more molecular level, it's not just here's what we're talking about.
It's interesting because you know this brings me right back to the octagon and the safe spaces, because we're not celebrating what is. We're living in two different universes.
We're talking a lot about potential, and what the kids are going to inherit,
but it's not what's happening.
No, it's just
far
sort of
from it.
Here's what we could be if we all came together. Then somebody tweeted me, I'll play the Michelle Obama. We'll read the Michelle Obama article first about her hair, which is confusing to me. Well, just read the title and then I'll tell you why it's confusing.
Michelle Obama says Americans were not ready for her natural hair when husband was in office.
Oh,
who knew I would talk this much about black women's hair on this podcast? Nobody told her they weren't ready. She just assumed they weren't ready. But she goes on to talk about the natural way she wears her hair is braided.
Michelle Obama said Tuesday that she changed her natural hairstyle while she was first lady so as not to intimidate the American people.
Right. But didn't she have the flat iron look years before coming into the White House?
Obama straightened her hair instead of putting it back in braids because Americans were just getting adjusted.
Right. But she straightened it in 2001. That's what I'm saying.
Pre-campaign
so why is that
trail.
America's fault? Sorry.
She said in an event for her book tour in Washington, D.C. Nope, they're not ready for it, she said. She concluded at the time. Obama implied that styling her hair in a more traditional fashion would have distracted from the former president's policy priorities. Let me keep my hair straight, Obama said. She told herself, let's get health care passed. She said, African-American women frequently deal with judgment over their hair decisions, their urge to chemically straighten their hair in professional settings to blend in.
All right, hold on a second. Turn on the TV set and look at Oprah or Joy Reid or whatever black female senator from Atlanta is. Some have a clean shaved head.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett.
Some have longer, straighter hair. Others have a natural. There's a cornucopia of hair options for black women that at least that I see on TV. Oprah goes back and forth from one or the other. I don't know why this is a thing. I don't know who decided this was a thing. I've never heard anyone talk about it, but she is concerned with it. But this is all self-imposed, just like her going to the ice cream store and having a white woman cut in front of her. This is racism. So everything for her is seen through the prism of racism. This shit is all self-imposed. You can keep reading. Sorry.
The mother of two claimed there's a double standard with how black people are expected to dress and curate their appearance.
Hold on. Dress? I feel, and I've often said, I feel like there's a lot more leeway in how black people can dress than your average white starlet.
Well, we've talked about this a lot, that black culture leads the way in fashion.
Yes.
You tell us what to do, what's cool.
There's a lot of diversity, but all right.
In 2014, Republicans and media outlets criticized her husband for wearing a beige suit. Republican Representative Peter T. King said the outfit lacked seriousness and lifestyle magazines deemed it a fashion mistake.
That was stupid.
Michelle says she avoided such brutal scrutiny.
All right, now hold on. Was saying your outfit lacked seriousness and was a fashion faux pas, that's considered brutal scrutiny.
Boy, charmed.
Your outfit lacks seriousness. That's a full frontal attack.
I remember when that happened. I thought he must be doing pretty well if this is what they're bitching
about.
This
is all we got is a beige suit.
Yeah. Michelle said she's glad she avoided such brutal scrutiny by sticking to the status quo on hair. Remember when she wore braids? Those are terrorist braids. Those are revolutionary braids. Obama joked that her critics might have said.
Oh.
Yeah, but no one gave a shit.
In terms of personal maintenance and scheduling during her husband's administration, Obama had about 25 staffers, an unprecedented number for a first lady. Her successor, Melania Trump, was estimated to have about 10, which was then smaller than any first lady's staff, Democrat or Republican.
Well, she didn't need to straighten her hair all day. Hers was naturally straight because she's a racist.
The former.
So you don't need extra 15 staffers. All right. All I'm saying is this. If you guys don't believe me in the race hustling department, you have a woman who was married to the first black president of the United States and did 2 terms.
Yeah.
She is the tip of the spear in the race hustling aggrieved category. Her, of all black women on the planet, should be banging the drum for why this country isn't racist, because we voted in her husband for 2 terms, but yet she's always out there hustling it. Mm. Now, is this a way to sell books to dumb people? Does she really believe it? I mean, who's been treated better than her?
Celebrated
is exactly right, over the last, 12 years or more in this country. Why is she so aggrieved? And the answer is, and I always say this, as this country becomes less racist, the race hustlers must pedal the bike faster. They must hustle harder to keep their narrative going so they can get paid. But then the question is why the pablum era, whether it's Michelle Obama talking about nothing, finding the light inside of people?
It relieves your own uncertainty, I believe.
It wouldn't. But this stuff wouldn't be good for millions of units if it wasn't finding a home in the place of the minds of Americans. Why is it finding a place in the minds of Americans? If Michelle Obama writes a cookbook and sells 14 million units, I get it. People may want to make
her recipes,
but this is not. This is a circle talk mixed in with some stories and some grievance.
We can obviously eliminate people that will just do anything that she puts out there. But this kind of the quote, which I can't even remember because it's so nonlinear, that's the kind of stuff, having a 7-year-old at home and having had a kid that I was involved in the preschool and the kindergarten, this is the kind of stuff that you read to children.
Yes.
It's very intangible, and there are keywords in there that you want them to take in, and that's the point. So to your question, why adults are attracted to it, I don't know, but I identify this as kids' book stuff.
I have a theory, but we'll play another. We have another clip and a couple of texts from the audio book.
Each of us carries a bit of inner brightness. Something entirely unique and individual, a flame that's worth protecting.
This is kids' book stuff.
Yeah.
Adults reading this is a little confusing, because this is what you tell your 5-year-old. You all have a light. It's bright inside of you. And if you see someone else's light, it makes you happy.
Do we have a text? Or do we have one more clip?
Oh, please, one more clip.
I don't know if Chris, I can't tell if we have one more clip or not. Go ahead.
This isn't an audio clip, but this is a screenshot for one of the promos.
We become bolder in brightness. If you know your light, you know yourself.
Is there something, first off, does a book like this need to be written? Or could I said just put all these pablum phrases into some
word
computer
generator
and let it just spit out a book will come out the other side, right? Does anyone ever raise their hand and go, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about?
No, because that would be very Emperor's New Clothes.
Right.
Well, you're the idiot. You're the racist.
Yes. All right. So why is this happening? Well, for every event, there's a kind of social construct. You know, there's a, this is what people are talking about. You know, Black Lives Matter on the tips of people's tongues and kids are going along. And, you know, like my, a lot of young white girls at my daughter's school, they were all up into Black Lives Matter. I don't know what they know. I don't think they know anything, but they just get, you get caught up in it. But then there's also kind of physiological part of it. Like, why is this happening? Like, what has changed in our construct that we have openings for this, that we let it in, that right. we think it's a good idea. Well, there's an article about sperm counts, which should shed a little light in the pablum bad idea circle chick think era we're leading and living in right now.
Sperm counts worldwide have plunged 62% in under 50 years. Sperm counts, get ready for a baby bust. Sperm counts globally have fallen at an alarming rate, dropping by more than 62% between 1973 and 2018, and could lead to a reproductive crisis, new research has found. During the same period, the concentration of sperm among men dropped by more than 51% from 101.2 million to 49 million sperm per milliliter of semen, according to the peer-reviewed study published Tuesday in the Journal of Human Reproduction Update. That number is still above the World Health Organization's cutoff, namely 15 million per milliliter, below which men are deemed to have a low sperm concentration. So we're still above the threshold.
But all right. So something's happening to dudes. They're falling off.
Mm-hmm.
And as that demographic starts to fall off, I used to say it all the time on Loveline. It is a an X. It's a giant X. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of the giant X was women on one side and men on the other. And in the 50s, that's where we were. And we started to climb these polar opposite base of the X. We just started climbing and climbing. And by the 80s, we were up it a little bit, got a little bit closer. We're now getting to the point, like if you put a date by it, we'd be right about the point where we're going to collide and turn into one big shit soup of bad ideas. And I think the low sperm count may have, a lot of people are saying it's a lot of plastics are causing it. I also think, and I don't know if testosterone and sperm are correlated directly, but guys out chopping wood and working in sawmills and stuff,
I think of the past.
I think it helps with the sperm count. Yeah. I think heading into the air conditioning and sitting in the cubicle and staring at the phone disrupts that. We have Michelle and what happened at the ice cream shop.
Oh,
I love this clip.
I'm standing there with two little black girls, another black female adult. They're in soccer uniforms. And a white woman cuts right in front of us to order, like she didn't even see us. And the girl behind the counter almost took her order. She didn't apologize. She never looked me in my eye. She didn't know it was me. All she saw was a black person or a group of black people. Or maybe she didn't even see that because we were that invisible. It's like,
or she's just an asshole.
Or she's just what everyone is. They're looking at their phone. I mean, when they started all this fucking retarded social distance bullshit, the market that I would go to in Malibu, I didn't realize that the fucking line started 20 feet back from the cash register bank.
Happened a lot.
And I was just, I'd be like walking through the deli section and I would just either walk to the cash register or I'd stop right in the front of the line. And I didn't know it went all the way back to the wine section. But it wasn't because the white people in Malibu were invisible. But she's got two takes. One is she's invisible. The other is she's not invisible. Like, the person who did this is racist because Michelle Obama, who is there with the brightly dressed, I'm guessing, soccer uniformed kids. But this person was like, black people are invisible. And by the way, Where were they? Like Selma, Alabama in 1963? Or were they in the Bay Area or someplace outside of D.C. and this chick was just looking at her phone? Here's the point. That's how she digests it and she pushes it out there. She's grievance oriented. It's bad for the country. It's bad for the nation. It's a horrible message. And that the basic selling point is if she's the victim of racism at this point, imagine what the mom in the inner city with the young black child, imagine what she is experiencing if the great Michelle Obama does this. She's a fucking race hustler. Her husband has turned into a race hustler too. It's sad. It's sad because they could have been a voice. Like they could have said, listen, I got voted into two terms. There's such a thing as racism, but that's not what this country is. It's 2020, whatever. Please, let's all just move forward. But no, they just fucking hammer checks and hustle race grievance. And he does it too, which is
bizarre. That's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
It
to
is
a lot
because
of
you looked at that guy and went, okay, this guy's dynamic. Yeah. He's broken the mold.
Yeah.
He's moving forward. Nope. He does the same hustling that she does. It's fucking despicable. No one can say anything about it because they're anointed, but they're fucking hustlers.
And if they said, well, who knows? Because they could have been leaders and people would have followed. But my guess is their worry is if I said, look, we have it, but it's not like it used to be. Look at me, two-term president. People would have said you're a traitor.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, I'm okay with this fertility crisis. There's 8 billion people on the planet as of today. We could cull a little, right?
I'm kind of mixed because now we're talking about there were just been some politicians talking about we need people coming across the border because we're not really reproducing. Like we need people in the workforce. We need human beings. So I'm with you in general that
8 billion.
There's a lot of people on the planet. On the other hand, it will have its long-term effects if we don't reproduce at a rate to replace the people that are leaving. All right. So, let's see. We got Tales from the Cheap. I want to shift gears here. I want to tell you guys a tip for life. And this is important, which is I was putzing around my house in my bathrobe, which I like. I don't know what the one's called. The one I got was called Made by Giraffe. I think it was called Super Soft Fiber. I don't know what it.
The bamboo cotton or something.
It's not the traditional heavy cotton
terry cloth
robe. It's the kind that they make blankets out of it. They make robes out
Sherpa,
of it.
Sherpa, the fluffy.
Who makes a company called Giraffe? I can't. All right. But you guys know there's like three categories of robes. There's like shiny Japanese robe. Fuck that. Then there is, maybe it's called Little Giraffe, yeah. Then there is the big terry clothy kind of stuff.
Right.
And then there's the kind that looks like microfiber.
Yeah, like it's called Sherpa.
It's called Sherpa.
Apparently.
Yeah, so somebody sent me one of those when I was doing KLSX radio 200 years ago.
No, and it survived the journey.
Well, not only has it survived the journey, but it actually burned because it was hanging up on a hook against one of those old wall heaters in the bathroom. And it actually burnt up a section in the bottom of it. And I just cut out the burnt section. So I had this big shark bite out of the bottom of it. And I was just walking around in it. And I love a bathrobe. I'll spend as much time as I can in the bathrobe. And then the thought became, I owe myself a new bathrobe. This one was free. I've been lugging it around. It's been, burnt like Jay Leno. And Jesus. I gotta cut it out. And what the hell am I doing? And I spend so much money on so much shit all the time. What the fuck? Just go buy a good bathrobe. So it's kind of in the back of my head. And I was kind of thinking Amazon. And I was walking around the Malibu Mall. I don't know. They have an outdoor whatever. The shopping center. The most expensive stores in the world.
Yeah. Is it like the Palisades or actual Malibu?
This is Malibu. Okay. And there's a place in there called barefoot dreams.
Of course there is.
And it's just the fluffiest, most comfortable shit for middle-aged rich white chicks. That's all it is. Just sweatpants and hoodies. And it's like if you're just sitting at home in a hoodie and regular sweatpants, you would not be comfortable enough. You would have to go to Barefoot Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to get the plushest shit in the world.
This is literally made of like literal cloud.
Yes, it's made of cloud. And I had some time to kill. I was kind of waiting around and I just sort of wandered in. But now keep in mind, when I walk into one of these stores, I'm like, not for me.
Right.
This is not for me.
It's too good for you.
It's too good for me. It's too good. And I just started walking around. I was looking at the bathrobes and the bathrobe was just heaven. Mm. Just heaven. But again, I was like, I'm going to Amazon. I'm finding something for $19.
Right.
So this is not for me. But keep in mind, I wear this thing every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day I get up, I put my bathrobe on. At some point now that it's winter time and it's cold outside, I end up in the swimming pool with the bathrobe poolside. Right. And then I get out and I put the bathrobe back on.
And don't forget, for you, oftentimes it's also a beer can holder.
That's right. TV remote, beer can. And I putz around the house. And then at night, at some point, I get out of my street clothes and back into my bathrobe and I putz around again. I mean, I may spend an average of 2.5 to 3 hours in that one bathrobe on average almost every day.
What are you, my nana?
Well, once I'm home and it's nighttime and I work out or do something, now I'm kind of done.
I hear you.
I don't need the Tommy Johns and the socks on anymore. It just goes down and on goes the bathrobe.
Yeah.
And it could be at 9 o'clock at night. And I may be watching TV till midnight. I'm in my bathrobe. And so I thought, there's no article of clothing or single item that I use is consistently and as much as this bathrobe. Mm-hmm. So, talked to one of the ladies behind the counter. Mm. Now, the bathrobe was $127.
Mm-hmm.
But $127 spread out over what will be 9 years for an average of 3 hours a day.
It's a bargain.
I would have normally been there and went like $120, maybe $80. But not... I got that thing a week ago. I've worn it for 25 hours already. Like,
you got
it is
the,
fucking awesome.
You got the cozy chic, I think, for $127.
Yes, it's
very
stretchy.
Fuzzy.
It's warm. It's beautiful. I tried it on. And I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be a bathrobe. But it should be a bathrobe. Everyone should get a fucking killer bathrobe. And I don't care what your tax bracket is. If you go, I cannot spend $150 for a bathrobe. You can spend $150 for anything you're going to use every single day.
Yeah.
And more on weekends.
Yeah.
That's for you know, over under is 5 years. Like, I really don't know when you go through a bathrobe. You'd have to have an incident. You know, to the bathrobe related incident.
Right.
I don't think you just, I wore out the ass of my bathrobe walking around the house.
Because the more you wear it, the comfier it gets anyway.
And I'm basing it on the one they got me when I was on KLSX that survived the fire.
Yeah.
So go out and get you a bathrobe, man, and get the super deluxe one. It is so damn nice. Oh, another bathrobe tip. When the tie inevitably, mysteriously, but inevitably pulls through the one side of the hoop and then only hangs to one side and goes down to the ground, rethread immediately.
Oh,
don't do what I do, which is I can get it. I could grab it. Like, I could pull it around. I'll put it off like five wearings before.
More work than
rethread.
Yeah.
Rethread immediately.
And because you said that, I also think that because I thought you were going to say when the sash mysteriously disappears, like if you wash it, don't you think bathrobes should always come with an extra sash?
I can't argue with you, but if the bathroom came with an extra sash, it would end up with in the drawer where all the extra buttons are when you buy a shirt that you never use.
You'll never find it.
And then at some point when the one sash made a run for the border, I wouldn't be able to find the other one. And then I would be aggravated. But I will tell you this, speaking of extra, this bathrobe has a double sash loop. It's double, meaning when the top one busts out, inevitably, you got
the bottom.
You got redundancy, baby.
I'm excited about the holiday season now.
Yes. Get that. And by the way, when you're buying a gift, you can buy someone a bottle of booze or you can get them tickets to a Lakers game or something like that. But goddamn, that bathrobe, that is the gift. It just keeps on giving. Jimmy got me one of those. Remember those candy striped, bright color, terry cloth ones that used to be very, very red and yellow, that vertically striped?
Big, like
popular. It wasn't the super soft plushy one. Right. It was old school, heavy kind of terry, but thick, heavy terry.
Sure.
Striped. It was like red and yellow and very vibrant. If you saw it, you'd kind of go, oh, yeah, I remember those from 15 years ago. Okay. I don't remember what the company was, but Chris could find it. But anyway, he got me that motherfucking robe. That thing hangs on my door. I use it every other day if I'm in between the plush one or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's still there. And every time I see it, I go, thank you, Jimmy.
Do yourself a favor.
Yes. And it'll never be regifted.
No, God.
Let me, let's see. I don't think that's it, Chris. This would have been about 15 years ago.
Is this kind of like a California Fred Siegel vibe?
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, it had a kind of Fred Siegel vibe. If you guys worry about regifting, bottle of booze, 43% chance that gets regifted. Mm-hmm. Many things get regifted. Bathrobe?
Never.
Never. Do yourself a favor.
Perfect.
All right. Take a quick break. Back with Tales from the Cheap and maybe Rotten Tomatoes right after this.
Hey, Corolla Drinks fans. We've got a special anniversary coming up. November marks the 10-year anniversary of Mangria. To celebrate this milestone and, more importantly, the support that the fans have given us, we're excited to announce each and every bottle of Mangria and 33 wines during the month of November is $10 only. That's right. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and get your bottles for only $10. The holidays are coming. Thank you so much for supporting us over the past decade. It really means the world to us. We love you guys. Happy holidays from all of us at Corolla Drinks.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam Carolla, it's Bobby Hollander here. And I've just heard about your performance on The Masked Singer. And I gotta say, picturing you in that sexy little avocado outfit really blew my balls off. It got my panties wet. I mean, it made me want to reach in and grab it. So thank you so much for doing a great job. I'm sitting here primed and prepared to bust a nut in my grandmother's freshly knit sock. Keep up the good work, Ace Man. And when you get a chance, make sure you check out The Personal Touch.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I have been driving around thinking about slapping five on yourself. Is that what he said? Whipping?
Whip five on yourself.
Whip five on yourself. I've never heard before, Bobby. Have you guys ever heard of beating off as whipping five on yourself?
I think he coined that.
Man, I hope his, I mean, obviously he has a legacy, but I hope his family is profiting mightily upon
the,
I hope they copy wrote whipping five whip on five. Your on yourself.
Wait, isn't that a song from the 80s? I whip five on it. I whip five on it.
What year?
From the 80s.
It's Bone Thugs and Harmony, right?
Oh, maybe. Oh, it's, I got five on it.
I have a serious deficit because I grew up in Los Angeles. I listened to K-Rock or K-Earth.
Yeah.
I either listened to whatever offering K-Rock was doing in the 80s, you know, progressive, whatever, Ramones and Clash and stuff like that.
Or doo-wop music.
Or doo-wop music. I knew no popular R&B, no top 10, nothing. It was all just either K-rock or oldies.
Yeah.
So sometimes people say that's a super popular song from like 1987.
You wouldn't know.
That song was so popular that when I worked in a kitchen back home, we would all sing, I got fries on it. So we had to put fries on the plates.
That's good.
Well, Crazy Bone is coming in this week.
My God. This is exciting.
But don't tell him. I'm not familiar with his work.
I don't think that is Bone Thugs, though. It's mob music.
Either way, it'll be
entertaining. It's got the word bone in it.
The rap duo Lunas.
Okay, great.
Yeah. All right, well.
Either way, good. Maybe they'll know the song.
Sure they will.
Still, all right. So we have some, I want to hear Bobby Hollander. I can't help it. I'm in love with that guy.
Whip five on yourself.
I just...
If you're watching this at a bar, as you do...
Well, that's the whole thing. When I was watching Bobby Hollander Presents back in the day, not at my friend's house when I was like 19, because he had a VCR and his dad had a couple of porn tapes. You know, we had Bobby Hollander, he had Sex Boat, and he had Taboo.
Right.
I think anyone else who was watching it with my friends was sort of like, all right, get to the fucking, to the fucking. I was like, who is this dude? I want to know more about this dude. And there was no computer, internet. Right. There's no way to, one could not go to the Studio City library and look up Bobby Hollander articles. But I was like, this guy's so crazy. And then
he's got it.
Later on in life, I just would kept saying, like, go find the tapes with Bobby Hollander. All right, let's listen to the late great.
Hi. You thought it was Alfred, but it's not. My name is Bobby Hollander, and I'd like to introduce you to a tape called The Personal Touch. Now, The Personal Touch is something different in home entertainment. It's strictly adult, strictly X, and it's hot. It's so hot, it's going to blow your balls off. It's going to want to make you wet your panties. It's going to want to make you reach in and grab it. It's going to want to make you come right on your television screen. The Personal Touch means personal touch. It stars Shauna Grant, Sharon Mitchell, Paul Thomas, Ron Jeremy, Dominique, a newcomer to the screen, Gene Hollow. Mm. The Personal Touch was shot on videotape to give you the finest quality in adult entertainment. It's going to let you, the home viewing audience, get out of your bed, off your couch, out of the bar, and you guys that are watching it in a bar are going to be into the bathroom in a minute, pulling your wang wang. I don't mean to say it in an obscene way, but we wanted to make it that way. Shauna Grant in this film, who stars, you've seen in Penthouse. You've seen in Swank, High Society, Chic, Hustler, Velvet. You've jerked off to her in Genesis and Gallery. She's gorgeous. She's young, she's blonde, and she has a body that'll blow you away. She's going to tell you how you can write to her personally.
All right. He does make more sense than Michelle Obama.
It's very clear.
It's super direct.
Yeah, the intentions are right there.
When was he whipping five on yourself, though? That must be coming up, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got the wang wang.
I forgot about the wang wang.
I think he gets into it after he tells you that Shauna. Yeah, here we go.
Black and white, personally autographed photo of her. Just by sending your name and address.
Black and white.
It's no hope, it's no joke. Mm. And we know the personal touch is hot. Ladies, go out. I hope you have new batteries for your vibrator. Mm-hmm. Husbands, whip five on yourself. Do it lubricated. But this tape is designed to make you want to do it. It's directed to you.
All right. I do love the breaking down of the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the creative engine behind The Personal Touch.
His objective is very clear.
But let's just think about the patience of the American porn-watching public back then.
Well, they had extra time.
From 1982, 83, or something like that, till now. So now you got to just hop online, watch a clip of people fucking immediately. This is, we got 20 minutes for this guy's preamble before we even get to the fucking part.
Well, there was no such thing as fast forwarding commercials. They didn't know any better.
Yeah, but, and I'm sure most people, well, I don't know. I'm the personal touch guys who got the vid, do you think they were watching this, or was this even at the beginning of the personal touch?
It had to have been.
But where he's else would talking about getting the personal touch.
Oh, I thought it was the introduction to the movie.
Well, I think it is the introduction to the movie.
No, he's talking about getting the black and white glossy.
Oh, all right. So this is the intro.
You must suffer this.
That's why he's coming in like Alfred Hitchcock, because it's like, yes. Yeah, that's why he's.
I like the fact that he underscores that it's a black and white picture and that it's shot on video.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chris, we had a whole bunch of tales from the cheap tweets that were kind of left behind.
Yeah, last time we played it, we put it on Twitter for people to call in, but they just tweeted us their tales.
I think it's too shaming to call.
Yeah, and they're good.
Yeah, it was inspired when Mark Garagos told me a few weeks back that his family, I forgot, the biggest treat for me when I was 9 years old, the biggest treat I could have at home were two things.
Being moved inside.
One was mashed potatoes.
Oh, boy.
Mashed potatoes was a big treat. Huge. As I could eat piles and piles of mashed potatoes. And Welch's grape juice.
Oh,
purple
boy.
In a glass bottle.
Oh, wow.
They used to have the glass bottle. It was so tangy and so sweet. And it was just Welch's purple grape juice. But it was a big time treat.
Well, back up for a second. Potatoes are as lily white as they get. So at whose home were you being served mashed potatoes?
My mom would make, like, once a year, like for your birthday or something, we would get mashed potatoes.
It's like a Dickensian novel.
I may have more potatoes. And I remember very clearly one day she made mashed potatoes for like a birthday, and I was acting out. I was getting in trouble, and I got grounded to my room, but I brought the pot of mashed potatoes into my service porch, and I was like, fine, I'll stay anywhere with these potatoes. But the Welch's grape was a big deal. It was the purple.
Yeah, and very purple.
But it wasn't in the carton back then. It was in a big glass bottle.
Wow.
And it was so fucking good. I don't even know. Chris, you can look it up. Is that just... It tasted just like purple grape juice, but I don't know if they put a bunch of sugar and whatever in or not. But it was unbelievable. Mark Garagos was telling me that his family would get that and then water it down.
Oh, yeah.
And step on it.
Sure. Yeah, we never had like a box of orange juice. We had the can and
frozen.
Then the plunger and then watering it down.
Yeah, you'd plunge it into a thing. There was people would step on milk.
Yeah.
They'd do powdered milk. They would step on.
Add water.
Everything was made with tap water.
Yeah.
Or stepped on with tap water, which is kind of unthinkable if you thought, like, imagine just opening your fridge and going, all right, I'm going to get that. I'm going to dump some water into it. And I'll get the milk and I'll put some powdered milk and then I'll dump some water into it. Like, were we so destitute? Like, what was it? Like,
was this in the middle of any major recession?
Mark Garagos comes from a fairly professional family who was not hurting financially,
that's how
but
you
they
stay
did
rich.
It. All right, we have our intro. Sorry. Go ahead.
20-year-old Tupperware, homemade clothes, powdered eggs. It's time for Tales from the Cheap.
Oh, man. Welch's grape juice.
The official juice suppliers of the 1980 Winter Olympics.
Oh, a big glass bottle. I could get that if I was sick.
You're right. Oh, really?
It wasn't around. No, would have never been around the house.
It was very sweet and tangy. We got, this is what we got on, because, you know, I had to go to synagogue every Friday night. And, you know, you do the kiddish afterwards, and the kids got to have Welch's grape juice instead of
did
wine.
Did it have corn syrup or anything in it, or was it just
it's
grapes?
It's no added sugar, so.
I mean, it's Welch.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, blast from the past. What do you got, Chris?
All right. So Jerry Lynn on Twitter tweeted you, we got one new pair of shoes a year. When the soles got holes in them, we lined the bottom of the inside shoe with cardboard. Repeated all year as required.
Oh, God.
Do you remember, Gina's younger, but I remember distinctly, do you guys remember any of this, like walking around your junior high and there'd be a kid with like the sole that came delaminated and it was like flappy. It was like flappy. And there was another kid who had the parka and it had a hole in it, so a piece of duct tape like on the sleeve. Like people would pat. We were like Cuban cars. Like we, you had to make that fucking 50s Plymouth work in 2000, you know, like in modern times.
Did that seem kind of cool? Like you had to make it cool because you didn't have a choice?
No, it's just people wore shoes into the ground.
Yeah.
Like just lots of laces busted and retied.
Oh, yeah.
You'd re-knot the lace. Like, you wouldn't just go out and splurge for new laces. Yeah. I mean, everyone would just walk their shit into the ground. Now, that I think what happens is it's a good example of being poor and it costing you more. Like, when you're poor, you don't have parking, so you park on the street, then you get a parking, you get a ticket, and then you're fucked, and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, there's a lot of poor stuff that it costs you more to be poor. Your best bet is to have three pairs of shoes and rotate them.
Of course.
And if you're going into the swampy shit and really getting into it, you know, like we would do trek into the Sepulveda Basin and walk through the water and stuff like that, then have a shit show shoe that's dedicated to that.
Right.
We had one shoe. It was dedicated to everything and it would get destroyed.
What about, well, I don't know about your house, but didn't you at least have one pair of quote unquote nice shoes?
No, because like we didn't have anywhere to go.
Right.
We didn't have church or weddings or we didn't need a nice pair.
Got it.
We didn't have anywhere nice. All right, what do you got, Max Spana?
At Real Slim Jimmy wrote, my stepdad used to make us pour the milk from our cereal back into the milk container.
Mm.
Okay, that sounds disgusting, but also delicious.
Yes.
I'd like a nice tall glass of that.
Yeah, that's a thing now.
Oh, really?
Like cereal milk. That's a flavor. Like it's an ice cream flavor.
It's an ice cream flavor. It's salt and straw.
Oh, man. I would probably encourage the kid to slurp it up.
Yeah, you don't waste that.
Yeah, I'm not into throwing away protein.
I'm glad he brought that up, though, because, Ben, I just sent you something. We never got into this. I think I maybe talked about it with Vinny. But Kellogg's, I don't think this is about being cheap. I think this is about being lazy. Go ahead and put it up. Kellogg's has introduced Just Add Water single cup servings of cereal with powdered milk at the bottom. And I don't think that's to stretch your food dollar.
We are getting so fucking fat and lazy simultaneously. It is absolutely breathtaking how lazy and fat we're all getting. I mean, it seems like only yesterday they were talking about Coke for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Snickers, it's a health food because of the peanuts.
So you put water into the powdered milk.
Stir it up. It already has the flakes and shit.
And you shake it up you stir it up?
Who knows,
Oh, right.
You stir it up,
because you pop the hymen on top of it.
And there you go. Breakfast is served.
What flavors are these? And by the way, you've now removed all the nutritional content from breakfast. Because there was a, when I was a kid, it was always part of this nutritious breakfast, but it would show milk and orange juice.
Toast.
Orange juice makes you fat. We have margarine on it. God damn, are we wrong about everything? Yeah,
this is Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, Apple Jacks, and Raisin Bran.
Well, Harlan Williams is probably through the moon because that
now,
guy,
being a traveling comedian.
That's right.
Yeah. So the quote magic milk in it simply comes from a healthy dose of milk powder.
Yeah.
So
that's magic milk.
Take in your milk.
And you add the water and you stir it up and it all just ends up tasting like Fruit Loops juice.
Like
anyway,
goopy.
Right?
Yeah.
Ugh, when did this hit the scene?
September.
Jesus Christ. Man, are we fat. All right, let's do one more, Max Pata.
I got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were really, really good at disguising the fact that we were poor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, my grandfather, we'd always sit down to the dinner table. My grandfather would always say before a meal, I wonder what the poor people are eating tonight.
Mm.
But when the cheapness came out, it was harrowing. Like the first time we saw snow, went to the snow and we were 11 years old. And my dad said, my mom said, we got to get the kids, snow boots. My dad said, have them wear their soccer shoes. God. We wore our soccer shoes in the snow and ran around, and they obviously do not work.
They're ruined.
And we almost got frostbite and almost lost all of our toes from playing out in the snow all day in soccer cleats.
Yeah, dedicated stuff. That's a real hallmark of poor people, or the lack of dedicated stuff. I made it. So my dad owned no tools, no dedicated shoes for any form, any kind of sport, no golf clubs, no bowling balls, no badminton,
no squash rackets,
no tennis racket. Yeah. Like, he did not own a goddamn thing that would have been, and anything skiing, anything snow, anything. There's nothing. You could open his closet. There wouldn't be any cleats, golf shoes. There was just zero. Yeah. It was all, it was considered stuff you'd rent back then. We wouldn't rent it. But it was all...
Like tuxedos. You wouldn't own your own tuxedo.
Oh, yeah. Please. That's what it was. And my dad didn't own a crescent wrench. Mm. Well, he didn't own anything. It was so weird. He had a pot with the handle busted off, so it just had a weird metal nub. Mm. You'd have to use like a towel to get it on and off the stove.
Because who could afford a pot?
He didn't have any stuff. Yeah. It was, and that's why I always liked stuff.
The original minimalist.
Yes. All right, you got one more shoe-related one?
Yeah, so this one's from M. Howard. My dad has maintained his weight since the 60s, so he doesn't have to buy new clothes. At my wedding, a heel fell off his platform dress shoes, and he went out to his van and nailed it back on.
Wow. I kind of like this guy.
Yeah, that's like when Mike Lynch's dad made the floorboard out of the yield sign for the Chevette that rusted through. There's a part of me that goes, yes, cheap, but innovative. And I kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
All right. Sean Evans, a creator, host of Hot Ones. I did the show. Of course, we have the DJ Khaled one.
You struggled all the way through it.
Which we love.
You told people just because you're giving up doesn't mean you're quitting.
That is one of the greatest. I love when any clip or any thing represents the entire essence of the person in a 90-second clip, you know, where you go, that's exactly who DJ Khaled is in a 85 seconds. All you need to know.
Yeah.
But Sean, a very nice guy, by the way, who gets Kate Blanchett, David Blaine.
Heavy hitters.
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. I mean, I need a list, Chris, of the stars that have been on that show. Anyway, we'll talk to Sean Evans of Hot Ones right after this.